Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm joined today by our Chair, Emmanuel Faber, recording this podcast during our July Board Week, which is taking place virtually. So, Emmanuel, it's been a big month for us. Hard to believe. It's just 5 weeks ago that we were recording the last podcast, and since then we've issued our standards. They've been endorsed by OSCO. We've made strong progress on alignment around climate disclosures with the European standards. And the Financial Stability Board's announced that the work of the TCFD is complete. So a lot to cover during this podcast. Shall we start with the launch of our standards?
Yeah, thank you, Sue. Yes, indeed, a hugely exciting month that has shown the continued support for the work, if not accelerated support of the work of the ISSB. So the launch was international, with stock exchanges from around the world hosting events in support of their publication. It was also granted a warm welcome from a wide range of investors. It was good to see the strong welcome of our standards as a global baseline of disclosures to provide decision-useful information to investors. And those would include the Institute of International Finance, the European Federation of Financial Analyst Societies, the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors, PRI, and a number of others. It was also welcomed by corporates, and in particular, the members of the International Business Council of the World Economic Forum as a collective. And yet, as you just said, that was another key validation of the standards through an announcement by the Financial Stability Board. So do you want to tell us a bit more about this, Sue?
Sure. So the Financial Stability Board met on the 6th of July in Frankfurt, and after that meeting, they announced that the publication of our standards marks the culmination of the work of the TCFD. And of course, the TCFD was a real trailblazer, and we are building very much on their legacy. And so really what this announcement means is that you don't need to do the TCFD recommendations and use our standards. If you use our standards, the TCFD recommendations are covered. Having said that, the TCFD recommendations are still, they still exist, they're still available, and they're a really great way for companies to prepare actually to use our standards. And this announcement that the TCFD responsibilities and standard setting has ended is a further rationalisation of the disclosure landscape, which of course is a key reason for why we were set up in the first place. And one of the other things that was in the Financial Stability Board's announcement was a request that the IFRS Foundation take over the role of monitoring the take-up of the use of the TCFD recommendations and take on that legacy. And that's really important to monitor practice and quality, so we really welcome this request for the transfer of responsibilities. We published a comparison as well on our website this week that the staff undertook that demonstrates how S2 builds on and incorporates the requirements from the TCFD recommendations, the four core recommendations and the 11 recommended disclosures. And so we will take a look at that if you're interested in just how closely we've built on that work. So that was the first major announcement in July. The second one came just earlier this week, feels longer ago, from IOSCO. So Emmanuel, you were there in Brussels with the chair of the IFRS Foundation trustees, Erkki Laikkanen, and with IOSCO's chair, Jean-Paul Sauvay. Maybe you could give us some thoughts on what IOSCO announced this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sue. It was a great moment in Brussels, this press conference, nearly 2 hours together, for some kind of a historical moment for even IOSCO, because they hadn't been endorsing standards since the endorsement of the IFRS accounting standards 20 years ago. So it was a big moment for a young organization like us, but also an institution like IOSCO. Basically, IOSCO declared that the board had unanimously decided to endorse the ISSB standards following a very comprehensive review. Actually, a synthesis of that review was made available also to the press and the public. They are calling on 130 member jurisdictions, which essentially are capital market authorities that regulate, as Jean-Paul reminded everyone, more than 90% of the world securities market, to consider how they can incorporate the ISSB standards in their respective regulatory frameworks. Jean-Paul said that he expected 100,000 to 130,000 companies to comply with ISSB standards within IOSCO's jurisdictions. The message was about the consistency and the comparability of our language and sending a strong signal that those standards are fit for purpose for capital markets used by regulators, companies, and investors. The other aspect was the focus of IOSCO on supporting the implementation together with us and others, including, by the way, the Financial Stability Board, that the week before had voiced their willingness to participate in the monitoring of the implementation of our standards and capacity building, which is a critical aspect for us now, and that we are now engaging a lot of resources on to ensure that before the end of this year, we have a very comprehensive package of capacity building support for jurisdictions, regulators, and companies around the world wanting to use our standards. And finally, for us, it was an opportunity to publish a document called the Jurisdictional Journey to Implementing IFRS S1 and S2, which is a precursor document to what will be the Jurisdictional Adoption Guide, which we committed to develop by the end of this year, including parameters of the elements that we are going to look at while assessing jurisdiction strategies in their adoption of our standards. And I would really encourage everyone around this call to have a look at this precursor document, which is very rich in many ways. That was on, I think, Tuesday, and the week didn't end there, as we are now on Friday. Maybe, Sue, you want to update us with the latest conversation we've had with our European colleagues about interoperability?
Sure. With the finalisation of the European Sustainability Reporting Standards, ESRS, it's been a good moment for us to sort of update the market on where we are with interoperability and next steps. And interoperability, just to remind people, is really important because there will be some companies who need to or want to use both the ISSB standards and ESRS, and we want to make that as an efficient and effective process as possible. And of course, the Commission got going before the ISSB was even established, and so we've been trying to find the best ways to make sure that, despite the fact they got a head start, that the outcome for companies is clear and as efficient as possible. And the other difference between our work, apart from timing, is the fact, of course, that we are focused on meeting investor information needs specifically, and ESRS have got a broader policy objective and are focused on broader stakeholder information needs. So the great news is that through our bilateral discussions with our European colleagues over the last 6 months or more, we have managed to achieve a really very high degree of alignment on our climate-related disclosures. And you'll see that hopefully when you see the published standards. We also are noting that the work isn't finished yet. We're still discussing how we communicate interoperability information to companies to make it clear how to meet both sets of requirements in the most efficient way possible, navigating between the standards if you like, and where there are some incremental disclosures that might be required by one set of standards and not the other. We also point out that we want to continue to talk to Europe about the potential for digital tagging to be a way to really help to facilitate interoperability, and that's an ongoing discussion. So a really important announcement, and we're really happy with what we've managed to achieve so far. A bit more to still to do. Those are, I think, the key announcements around what's been happening with us and our ecosystem in the last month. But we've also been doing some technical work. So Emmanuel, I'm going to hand over to you to talk about our board discussion at the July meeting.
Yeah, while all of this was happening, we continued to deliver on our technical agenda this month with a digital meeting and a public session that took place yesterday, focusing on supporting adoption and implementation of S1 and S2, in the context of which last year we had committed to look at nature and social aspects of climate-related risks and opportunities. So in between, the staff spent time looking at routes to explain and illustrate the requirements in our climate standards around these topics. So this week, based on a staff paper, we agreed that staff would produce educational materials to help companies understand how to consider risks and opportunities around areas such as water, biodiversity, deforestation, and just transition when they relate to their climate-related disclosures. This does not expand in any way or change the scope of IFRS S2, but simply would provide support for companies to fully use S2 in their ability to describe with as much as possible a common language to their investors issues that are related to climate in the nature space and in the social area as well. So by providing educational materials on this topic, we believe we're also helping advancing a holistic approach to climate disclosures, which is an area where there is no doubt a global advancing consensus and more investors asking for information in these intersections. That was the board discussion, but the week being the week, we also went through another process, which is publishing our proposed taxonomy for our standards. Do you want to share a bit more of that as well?
Sure, yes. Some more reading matter for those of you listening to this podcast. We published our exposure draft, our proposals for the digital taxonomy that will accompany S1 and S2, and that's open for comment until late September, the 26th of September. We've been developing this in tandem with S1 and S2 because we really want it to be possible for digital consumption of the information provided using our standards when the standards reporting starts. And the proposals in the taxonomy enables so-called digital tagging that facilitates structured digital reporting, so you get good comparability in the digital version of the information that comes from using our standards. So a really important piece of work, and please look out for that. In terms of what others are doing that are close to us in the ecosystem, we also are aware that we're expecting the IAASB, the International Audit and Assurance Standards Board, to issue a consultation shortly where they will be consulting on proposed sustainability assurance standard, not our direct responsibility, but something we're really, really interested in. And so we'll be encouraging our stakeholders, please, to respond to their consultation as well. And why do we care so much? Because we want our standards to result in information being provided to the market that investors can be really confident to rely on, in the same way that they're confident to rely on the information provided in the financial statements, and having assurance of the information that's provided when people use our standards really adds to that confidence. So we have a real interest in the success of assurance around our information. So we're really keen that people engage in that consultation. So an exciting month, and thank you everybody who has taken the time and effort to respond to our consultations so far. Please continue to do so. Really vital to our work, and I'll speak for the IAASB for them as well, because I really believe as a standard setter that the quality of our work is really dependent on the quality of the input you give us to help us do a good high quality job. Emmanuel?
Yeah, thank you, Sue. I think we can bring this conversation to a close. Indeed, this month has just been extraordinary in terms of the dividends taken from super hard work and hopefully quality work since we started. And that work wouldn't have been possible without the contribution of so many of you listening to us. So huge thank you on behalf of the members of the ISSB board, but also the staff for all the support, but also the constructive challenge that we receive to better the information that we are now providing the market with our standards. In many ways, that month has been one where the vision of the global baseline has made huge steps towards being a reality. For those wanting to learn more about S1 and S2, I'd recommend you to listen to the deep dive webinars that Sue led with our technical staff, which are available on the IFRS Foundation website. And just to say, we won't meet in August as a board. So we expect our next podcast to be now in September. For those of you in the Northern Hemisphere, let me wish you a great summer, and we'll be happy to talk to you on the other side of it. Thank you, Sue. Bye, everyone.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.